Well, I've been looking at some scriptures that talk about wisdom. I'd like to look at some of those.
Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter and the 5th and 6th verse. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise an understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Been thinking about wisdom, and here the Lord told them that the laws and the commandments that He gave them was going to be their wisdom. And I believe that. I believe God blessed and honored His Word, and we know that, you know, Israel rose to great heights under David, because the people were serving the Lord, they were following Him, and at the front end of Solomon's reign, they were serving God, and God brought them to great heights. So we know that God is wise, or the Scripture said that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. We know that all wisdom comes from God. Psalms 111:10, I'll just read that one. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
A good understanding have all they that do His commandments." And Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So I was thinking about how God has been the source of wisdom. He's been the source of knowledge. And we, you know, from Proverbs, we recognize, and the lives of God's people, we recognize how God, the Scripture talks about wisdom is better than weapons of war. Another one mentions that wisdom is better than, money? Are better than power and strength. We have the account of the city that was delivered by the poor wise man that lived in the city, that the great army. So wisdom is better than strength. So there's a lot of advantages to wisdom. My thought, though, is the Scriptures also talk about the wisdom of this world. And that's what I want to look at a little bit this afternoon. In 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 17th verse, and Paul talks a lot about, I'd like to read a little bit in here, 1 Corinthians. In the 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, and the 17th verse, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Okay, so I want us to keep in that mind that phrase, the wisdom of words. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, why does it use the word wisdom? I've been pondering this. There's another verse. Here it used the wisdom of words. 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says, wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world. There's another place, 1 Corinthians 2:4. It talks about excellency of speech or of wisdom. And verse 4 says, enticing words of man's wisdom. So, wisdom, we know that God, He established the earth with wisdom. Proverbs brings that out. He used laws. He used wisdom in creating the world. We usually attribute wisdom with God. But here are these phrases that talk about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of men. And that's what I'd like for us to maybe discuss just a little bit this afternoon. Wisdom sounds good. I mean, wisdom and knowledge sounds good. And there are things that people can be wise at. And it looks good. I mean, it looks good, but it may not be the wisdom of God. It may not be what God has designed or what God's plan is. And I think about it says the world by wisdom knew not God. Why did they not know God? Why did the wisdom of this world not know Christ? why doesn't the wisdom of this world know Christ now?
Well, they're wise, they should know.
They're wise, they should know.
Wisdom of man leading away from God.
Wisdom of man leads away from God.
Your school.
Their own intellect. They're trusting their own intellect.
Their own intellect. You know, when Christ came, they were looking to break the Roman yoke. That's what they were looking for. They wanted as a whole. Now there's a verse in Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, the lowly people, they heard the gospel message. Sinners and lowly people, and they received, they believed. There's a verse in Luke, it talks about He had filled the hungry with good things, but the rich He sent empty away. So, you know, lowliness and humility helps us to grow in wisdom and understanding. I know there's a saying that I remember coming across a long time ago. It says, many a man had gained wisdom and knowledge if he hadn't assumed he already had it. Many of men would have gained greater wisdom and knowledge had he not assumed that he already had it. So there's some truth to that. It said, with the lowly is wisdom. You know, Jesus' birth, you know, it wasn't, he wasn't born like a king. You know, all those things, the virgin birth, you know, the ignominy that came with the reproach. You know, all those things seem like it says he destroyed the wisdom of the wise. They wasn't able to get a hold of. And I've been amazed. I've studied a lot in John over and over. Tell us who you are. Why don't you tell us? You know, they confronted Jesus. Why don't you just tell us plainly? He did. He did.
He also told them about what he did.
He did. He told them plainly. But they didn't receive it. They didn't. He fulfilled Scripture. There was evidence there that God was with him. Nicodemus, when he came to him, said, "We know man can do these things except God be with him." So they didn't really have. But I want to, in thinking about wisdom, it said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So what is, it seems like the stumbling block is still there. You know, what causes people to not want to partake of Christ and accept Christ? You know, the entrance is through repentance, repenting, humbling ourselves, and the fear of God, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I believe, you know, that was an Old Testament scripture that we read. It talked about these laws being your wisdom in the sight of the nations. But there's another verse that talks about, it says, Christ is our wisdom. Christ was made unto us wisdom. In the 24th verse, that same chapter, it says, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ now, what he taught, the way he taught, the things that he taught, that's our wisdom. That's our, you know, just like it was for them under the Old Testament, we have now the teachings of Christ that give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I think about, you know, the rich man. When I think about the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God, the rich man, you know, when you look on it at the surface, it looks like he's successful. And that's why I'm wondering if that's not why it uses the word the wisdom of this world. Because wisdom sounds like that's a good thing. But it's of the world. Its rudiments are of the spirit of the world. But the rich man, you look at his, you know, just from a temporal standpoint, you think he was wise. But God called him a fool. You know, the Lord said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be? Now, he probably had wisdom. I mean, he had ability to accumulate. He had ability to save. He had, you know, those types of abilities that, you know, would make a person look good and powerful. And But when it neglects Christ, the life of Christ, what Christ taught, it's not really the wisdom that God designed. And I think about the thought of putting the temporal over the spiritual. You know, putting the temporal, putting greater emphasis on the temporal things of life than on the spiritual side of life. Neglecting the spiritual side, that wouldn't be the wisdom of God. That'd be the wisdom of this world, the wisdom that the world has to offer. Does anyone have any thoughts? Yeah, go ahead. That was coming up next. Okay.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Okay, why don't you read a little bit more?
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him, as we have all.
Let me turn there. I wanted to get the last part of that chapter that talks about.
And doctrine of men, which things highly be a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not being honored to satisfy the flesh.
Okay. Now here he mentions in verse 14, it talks about blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And I believe that's talking about the ceremonial law. I believe the moral law of the Old Testament has always been there. The moral law. And I believe Jesus raised the bar, you know, on moral law. The Jews thought he was doing away with the law, but he was actually... He raised it so much higher than what they had under the Old Testament law.
Yeah.
But he said, let no man therefore judge you. The dialogue says, let no man therefore rule over you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Now, we was talking a little bit about food at lunch, eating horse and you know, the clean and unclean. I believe that we're not under that law in the New Testament, but I believe that law was there to show them that spiritually, the church, there is clean and there is unclean. There's a difference between things that we can imbibe into our lives and things that we can't. There is a clean and an unclean in the spiritual, you know, in the spiritual realm. We're not held, you know, under the law. And the New Testament brings that out. But I want to read a little bit further. 18th verse says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministers and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. this not holding the head, it's like he's not, this person is really not attached to Christ. He's not in sync with the head of what Christ has given. And dropping on down, it says, touch not, taste not, and which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. Now the Diaglot renders that verse. It says, which ordinances having a wordy show of wisdom in self-devised worship and humility. Anyway, that kind of stood out to me. A self-devised worship and humility. See, it's not coming from the head. It's not coming from Christ. But it looks like it could be spiritual. You know, when a person is, okay, like the issue of the Sabbath day, you know, they talked about, the Sabbath days, and they talked about meat. What looks, you know, on the surface, it looks like not eating meat is more spiritual because you're restraining. Restraining yourself. Denying yourself. Thank you. So on the surface, it looks like, you know, that's more spiritual than... but Paul brings that out in one place. He said, you're not the better for eating it, and you're not the worse for not eating it. In other words, there's no spiritual benefit or value. It's kind of like Jesus with the washing of hands. He's, you know, washing your hands is not going to make you spiritual. It might save you for some of a few germs, but it's not an indication of spirituality. Do you remember the Shakers? You ever heard that group? The Shakers, I think they were kind of closely to the Pentecostal. They didn't believe in marriage. To get in the group, you sold everything that you had, which looks like self-denial. You lived in singleness. You didn't marry. And so all those things look, you know, on the surface, it looks like, wow, they're really... But do those things really help us if it's outside of Christ? It doesn't. Those things really don't... You know, if we could discipline ourselves into righteousness, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. I thought one time the flesh is like a balloon. You know, an aired up balloon? You push your finger on one side and it it goes, expands somewhere else. And that's the way it is without Christ. If without Christ, you know, just within our flesh, ourself, the flesh just expands. And you hear of that when there's been like the Shakers, different groups that have been real strong on doctrines and teachings. You've seen some real real severe evils and things happen, and it's because Christ is not there. It's like they're trying to... he mentions here will worship. Will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But Paul is very clear in all of his writings that it's Christ is He's everything to us. He's our righteousness. He's our wisdom and our understanding. And it's through Him that that He can help us. We do need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need understanding. But it's not. And I'm not saying, you know, that just like the rich man, I'm not saying that he didn't have wisdom. He had some wisdom in being able to do what he did, but it wasn't really the wisdom of God. And God, because it wasn't subject to God, you know, he never subjected his life. He never repented. He never yielded himself. So that's, it would be really the wisdom of this world. And there's a lot of different things that people have had wisdom and done, you know, great things. And sometimes it makes us stand back and think, wow, you know, we feel, you know, I'm kind of common and ordinary and simple in so many ways. But I've been challenged with that, and I want to pray about it more. But the wisdom of this world, I feel like, hinders from. And it's hard for us to sometimes. I mean, I know the Lord can call us, give us certain convictions, and you know, about certain things that maybe other people don't have convictions on, and that's fine. That's okay. I believe God works with us as individuals, but I wouldn't want to make everybody follow my own personal, every personal conviction that I have. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments?
James 3:15, this wisdom descendeth not from above.
Okay. James 3:15. It says, if you have, in verse 13, it says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That other verse we read that said, lowliness, with the lowly is wisdom. Here it says, meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17 is probably the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So that's a good, the wisdom that is from above. And then it said, the wisdom that sendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. I don't remember, but in Pilgrim's Progress, you know, when Pilgrim left the city of discretion, who was the one that came out to
worldly
wise man, trying to get him back to where he left. Worldly wise men. So Lord, help us today. And I, you know, the encouraging thing there, the Scripture there in James, it talks about if we lack wisdom, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we can ask the Lord, and We're acquainted with Solomon's wisdom, the wisdom that Solomon had, and I don't ever expect to be a Solomon or have that kind of wisdom. But two things that I noticed about Solomon was that he loved God with all of his heart. When he was at Gibeah, he offered thousands of sacrifices. And his prayer was that he might serve the people, that he might serve. That was the desire of his heart, and that's what God heard that, and the Lord was pleased with that desire, and he gave Solomon wisdom plus all those other things with it. But where did Solomon mess up? I can see how there was a... Would it be the wisdom of this world?
What was that from the first John? It says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yes.
Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I think some of that was what Solomon
was doing. You know, the Lord's commandment was not to marry other nations. They were kings in that day, married women of other nations as kind of like a peace treaty. So, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like that would be a good thing to make? You know, if you had wives, it'd be less unlikely for their father to come and attack. But the scripture said, don't marry their sons and don't marry their daughters, for they'll turn away your heart. So, and that was the snare. You know, that was the thing that Solomon, when he was old, they did. They turned his hearts away from God. So I believe that if we have a heart to serve, we love God, we have a heart to serve, that God can give us wisdom in a lot of little things, our everyday things of life. He can help us when we look to Him, decisions that we make. He can give us wisdom and understanding and knowing what to do. If we'll look to Him and ask. He said, let him ask in faith. God gives liberally to all men, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And I appreciate this promise that God has given to us. We can ask for wisdom and help. And but there is that contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. The wisdom that the world has to offer.
Solomon must have strayed or lost some of his fervency for the Lord to step from the path of wisdom. We are cautioned all through the scripture to be careful.
Yes.
Once that happens, and he must have, as he got older, and was known for wisdom, maybe pride led him astray, maybe he relaxed his fervency. I don't know. He turned on the right way.
I wish we had a time. It doesn't really give us a time element. I guess maybe if we looked it up in history, if we could find when he married. You know, it really doesn't say, but yeah, there was something there that worked. No doubt his fervency, but was it from his wives, or was it, I don't know. But there was something that worked. Any other thoughts or comments?
There's a passage in Psalm 119, several verses. I'll start at 97. thinking, how can we get the wisdom of God? Oh, how I love thy law, in my meditation all the day. Thou do thy commandments, hast made me whiter than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts.
Yes.
I don't remember whether I heard this or read it someplace, that knowledge is just simply a set of facts that you happen to know about.
Uh-huh.
Whereas wisdom is the ability to be able to apply that knowledge and make good use of it.
Yes.
The scribes and Pharisees had a lot of knowledge, but they didn't have any wisdom.
Yes.
Like I've often said, if they'd have been half as good of Old Testament scholars as they wanted everybody to think they were, they should have been able to see something. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious.
Well, the heart, you know, it's not by intellect. The heart, their heart wasn't really seeking after. I think Nicodemus was, and there's probably some others that did, but overall.
What was that? Loss, something that happened in the fall. God, you know, had started out, Adam was wise, naming animals, and he gave everything into his hands, but then at the fall, then that second set of wisdom, so to speak, is that when it got birth? Are the two related somehow? Is this just a diluted form, or?
Well, the temptation was for that, wasn't it? You'll be wise as God, knowing good and evil. I don't know if I have an answer to that, Brother Gavin. I'm sure we lost big time in the fall.
Well, the human brain is large enough to do a lot more than it does. And I think we were apparently limited at the fall for that.
Yes.
Because why would we have such a capacity if we don't even use it? I wonder if God put a shunt or some kind of delimiter in our brain where we couldn't, you know, once in a while we'd get an Einstein, but for the most part we're all hurting.
Yes.
For wisdom.
Well, the Lord, there was a guy in the Old Testament when they were building the tabernacle that was very skilled in all the metals and very gifted in forming it and all that. But it said, I noticed it said that God gave them wisdom and the knowledge, you know, to know how to do those things. And there was another verse I read that talked about it, said, he that separateth himself intermeddleth with all wisdom. So I feel like sometimes when we can step aside somehow and, you know, focus our mind and read and pray and give ourselves to something, I think, you know, we can grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Not that we'll ever reach the full 100% capacity, I don't know. But anyway, appreciate your help. I know the Lord can give us wisdom when we need it, and we do. We definitely need God's wisdom in our life.
They're saying that I have great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and man must be handled with great humility.
Yes. And that one verse there said, "For with, For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So the Lord is the source. You know, the fear of God is the beginning. And everything outside of Christ is really would be man's wisdom. The word wisdom, there is a benefit to wisdom. There's a benefit to knowledge. And people, you know, people that give themselves to their field of study, they prosper in it. You know, they can become very, very successful. And I wouldn't altogether call that, you know, the Scripture calls it wisdom, but if it's without Christ,
there's been many wise people that have helped humanity.
Yes.
But they weren't Christian.
Yes.
So, and then in God's sight, it's, I don't know, it's like it was helpful, but yet that doesn't get them past in heaven.
No. No. Christ is our wisdom. But it looked. You know, the Lord's ways are just above us. You know, because when Jesus was... I feel like I would have been like the other disciples. You know, far be it. This, we don't want this to happen. But that was part of the wisdom of God. For Him to be crucified and to give a sacrifice. But in our humanity, we just... And I feel like it's sometimes that way just in... You know, when things happen, it's like, you know, if I was God, I wouldn't have done that. Or wouldn't have allowed that. You know, I've heard people make that statements, but we're not. And we don't see the full picture like God sees. Well, I appreciate your help.